You might like to open your Bibles as we open our morning, open our service. What can I tell you? Open your Bible and clear your heads. How's that? Now, perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we are privileged. Thank you. Thank you very much. Honor yourself. And we'll thank you and thank you again. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of John chapter, as we've been studying, in the Gospel of John, and we are reminded that John is the last living apostle, and he's going to present the God in the light of all of history, in the light of the Old Testament, in the light of the New Testament. He's going to present the wonderful point of all of it, is that men and women, boys and girls, would know God, the only God and the only Savior. Now, and thus John is dealing with the Lord dealt with the Jewish people. The Jewish people, among all peoples, they had been introduced to God at Mount Sinai, and thus they are, of all the people that should expose and understand God, they should. And so the Gospel of John is dealing with the attitude of humans at their best. When they have information, understand information, had the Old Testament, they had all kinds of stuff, and they didn't do much with it. They just didn't do much. And they had an argument with God all the time. So now, here in John chapter 8, as we've been studying the Gospel of John, and if I can, picking up, please, in verse 25. 8 and 25. And remember we did this, I'm just trying to get a little bit of the context. I said therefore unto you, verse 25, they said, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Now they wanted to know who he was. They did know who he was. We shared that last time. So it isn't a question that they don't know. They're just trying to trap him and hope that he'll say that God is his father. And thus you could get him for blasphemy in their mind, because who can make themselves equal with God like that? And so, but who is that? Who what? Where is your father? And in verse, so when you come to verse 30, and 32, when you're picking up there, remember now, they're still there. Here's this, here we are in the temple, treasury, here we are, and they're all talking, sitting there listening. And among them, the Pharisees up front, scribes, Pharisees, up front, and they're trying to trap him, trick him publicly. And so they're all listening. Everyone's there, has an ear to hear, they're able to hear. So now, as he speaks, and here's this crowd, and here are the Pharisees, and in the process of all of that, then you have the believers, people that are out there listening to all this, over, if you would, to chapter 8 again, and in verse 12, for instance, 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So now, here he is talking, and making it clear that who he is, I am light. Remember the light of the Feast of the Tabernacles. I am the light of the world. And if you want to, we have physical light. If we don't have physical light, we are in darkness. We're blind. Physical light. Things, we're able to talk about things because of light. Light. We describe them, colors and everything, and we're talking about light. Sight involves light. So when you look at anything, there's feeling, touch, but you're talking about sight, and that involves light. You want to see anything, you use your eyes if you have them, Lord willing, and you use them to see. If you want to see God, Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light. You want to see God, the invisible, infinite God, look at me. Not only am I the light, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light, and I am the life. And so when you want to see God, and you want to see the wonderful, living and only God, look at me. And when you look at me, you're going to have light. You're going to have light when you honor me. So now, with that little bit in mind, so therefore, there's people there in that crowd that out around him at this point that believe, and he knows that, and he says that, thus in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed. As he was speaking, many believed. They just believed. A statement. I believe him. That's a moment of time. I believe. I believe what I heard. I believe what I saw. I believe what was said. Verse 31. Then said Jesus, answering, looking out and seeing them there, to the many that believed, he's speaking to them. Then said Jesus to those Jews, which believed on him, those Jews which have believed, that were believing on him. That's what they're doing. They're believing on who he is and what he has said. I am the light of the world. I am the life. Now, that they're looking, and he's talked to them. Here's the Pharisees, unbelieving. Here's all the crowd all over the place. And there's the believers out there. And then he said, for those Jews that are believing, what do you need now? Verse 31. If you believers that are there, you people that are believing, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue, it's third class condition, means they may or may not do it. They don't have to do it. They have to choose to do it, to participate. If you continue, abiding, the word continue to abide. If you continue to abide, to rest, to find your home in my word, in what I say, I am the light of the world, etc. If you're paying attention to what I am saying, if you continue, if you abide, if you keep on, present tense, keep on doing, keep on abiding, and keep on abiding. And in the process, if you keep on abiding, continue in my word, then are you my disciples, you are my disciples indeed, or the word truly, of truth, you are my disciples indeed. You are truly my disciples. Now, remember the word disciple has to do with the word to learn. Going to school, to learn. You're trying to learn something. Now, it goes beyond that, though, this word does. And it means to take learning, truth, and bring it into your experience. Underline, bring it into your experience. Bring it, make it part of your life. Make it experience the truth. Not just write it in your book or say, I know it intellectually. Experience truth. So you can enjoy truth. If you don't experience truth, how are you going to enjoy truth? If you don't experience your learning, how do you enjoy it? How do you enjoy it if you don't experience it? Now, So in the light of that, verse 31, if you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed. Indeed, you are my present, you are being my disciples. You are. You want to be believers, then you need to keep on believing. You need to stay with it. You can't come and go, stop and start. Just think of being, we read it in John chapter 3. When you were born physically, did you not have to continue being born alive? You're humans. You can't get away from being you can't get unborn. That's what Nicodemus said. I don't understand. So when you're born physically, you're born. It's all over with. So when you're born spiritually, if you're believing, then you ought to be believing. And if you're believing, then you are receiving. He that, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, here we are looking, and they are believing. If you're going to be believers, he said, continue in my word. Now, what you need to know, he's laying it right on the line, because in verse 33, look at verse 33 for a moment. They answered him. Now he's speaking to them, if you believe, be believing. Now what, they were offended with that. And their pride popped out of the page, popped up in front. We are Abraham's seed. Who do you think we are? You see, wow. So he's hitting them. And he's laying it right on the line in front of them. If you believe, keep on believing. Then you will truly be saved. Not because you are believing, but because I save you and you're keeping me as the centerpiece. I am the Savior. The only one. And you want to keep my word and who I am in front of you. So therefore, in John chapter 8, picking up if I can. So they needed to be believing, receiving, and be in subjection. And then you come to verse 32. Very popular, rightly so, verse that's quoted as true. And you shall know, if you are my disciples indeed, and you keep on keeping on, by that you're believing. You don't stop being born physically. And you don't stop being born spiritually. You just keep right on doing it, being it. Therefore, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You are going to know something. You are going to know it. You yourself are going to know. You're going to have that knowledge of the truth. The truth involves my word. My word, verse 31, continue in my word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will go and make you free, will give you wonderful liberty, freedom. Now, having said that little bit, the truth will make you free. Now, so what is the word, just to put it out in front, because he's cornered them again and again and again, because they try to get him, and each time he puts them on the spot. Do you have a safe, solid, secure, certain relationship with God based on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ? That's what he's going to do. In 6 months later from this, he's going to go to the cross. So in 7 months, think of Pentecost. So here they are in the process. They're looking, and if you believe, you need to be believing. And as believers, then you believe, and you're going to enjoy being born physically. You're going to enjoy being born. You understand why you were born. Why were you born physically? In order to know God spiritually in a most wonderful way. So here's the word truth that you're looking at. And you have the word truly. The little word indeed, truly. And then you can go down to verse 32, and you shall know the truth. and the truth will make you free. Well, what is truth? It's the word to lie hidden, to be concealed, to escape notice, so you can't find, you can't see, hidden away. And then we're going to put a little word in front of it, negative, a, negative. Negative, hidden, hidden, opposite, not hidden, not concealed, very real, very live, very factual, actual, factual. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that for the word, the reality, the realness of reality, that'll help you. When you say truth, this word, think of reality. What is real, 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 not imagined, not fictitious, not fictitious, not make-believe, real. Something has to be real. And if I can, and there is that forever pencil, the easiest, and we've done it, you could do it, you all could do it for me. You want to understand truth? And here is the lead. And if we sharpen this in the sharpener, and if we keep going, it's going to be the same lead that I see in the end is what I see all the way to the end of the pencil. It is real. It is true. It is truly lead. True lead. True God. All the way through. So when you start with what you see and follow what you see all the way to the end, back, it's the same. It's true. True. Real. Truth is what is real. Real. You don't make anything true. Truth is truth. And you don't make it true. You either enjoy the truth or you don't enjoy the truth. There is no middle ground whatsoever. None whatsoever. So to make the actual factual, truth, reality, the reality of something. And thus, dear friends, keeping that in mind, that word, truth, the reality. I'll read the verse now, 32. You shall know the truth. You shall know the reality. You shall know the realness. No make-believe. All for real. And the truth shall make you free. Now, having said that little bit, over with you, let me do it two different ways. I'll try to. Over in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. Truth. Now, what is the problem with understanding truth? Or why is truth fought? Why isn't truth, obviously, if something's true, why don't we just assume it's true? Most of you are real, aren't you? If you doubt it, sort of sneakily touch yourself. I want to see if you're real. Are you true? You acknowledge you're real. True. Otherwise, you're sitting there, I don't know what I am. Fish, animal, vegetable, mineral, what am I? Here I am, now. Truth. Hang on to that. Now, so, over in John chapter 3, we're trying to get, what is the problem? Why wouldn't people want truth? Why do you want error? Chapter 3, picking up, please, verse 18. You know it. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, N-O-T, is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, the judgment, that light, I am the light of the world, light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. Why do they love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil, their works are evil. For everyone, verse 20, that doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? They don't want it. They don't want light. They want to be in the dark, lest his deeds, his works, should be reproved, should be put to be put to shame, to be proven, to be put to shame and proven you're wrong, reproved. So we don't want light. Verse 21. He that doeth, on the other hand, truth, there's your word, cometh to the light. Why? Because I am the light of the world. I am the truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. I'm the light. So, now, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil, verse 21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? That his deeds, his works, may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, God is something you do, wonderful. And God, if I leave you off, I don't have any of it. I'm bankrupt. I'm in poverty. Over now, in the light of that, why is it we love darkness? Why? And the background for that, of all humanity, the Jewish people, if they trust God, live in the light. If they don't trust God, they live in the dark, like the rest of the world. Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. And you'll see it easy now. Romans chapter 1, please. Picking up, if I may, in verse 18. This is God's treatise of righteousness. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed, like the pencil lead, true, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What about it? Who are having and holding the truth wrongly in an unrighteous way, in unrighteousness. They hold it in the wrong way, because that when that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, etc., as we've read that many times. So you know it. They know. God makes himself known. It isn't because someone told them. Someone has to tell them in East Timbuktu. No, they don't. God already told that little boy, little girl, when you're growing up, you know there's a God. We did that last time. There's no way. God makes it known. And you just don't do anything with it. You get caught up in the adult world, and you leave God out. And you know kangaroos aren't God. You know totem poles aren't God. You know bowing up and down isn't God. All the ritual and all the religious rigors aren't God. We know that. The adult world has received it as God. Now, slide your eye down, just to get it quickly, to verse 23. Well, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They changed. They changed the wonderment of God to something that they could see, touch, taste, and smell, something they could control. Why do we like religion? We can control it. That is, we can keep it or leave it. We can come and go, and we like it because it's tangible and touchable. So now, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Down to verse 25. Who changed the truth, there's your word, of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So they took the wonderful reality that God is God, and they took it and made it into a lie, and made him like unto birds and something other that he isn't. The pencil isn't a carrot. The pencil is a pencil. A carrot is a carrot. God is God. Truth. So, you are you, true. You are really you, who you are. You are true you. So now we've got to get to truth, since we don't make truth, and we need to honor truth, and we're living in a day when there is no truth. And when you really think about that, if you want to be relative, everything is true to a person as they want it to be true. Whatever they want. I want blue to be green, and you want blue to be orange. And each is true, And none of it is true. None of it is true. We're all doing it. We have no truth. How about being alive and having no truth? Nothing is real. Nothing is right. People are living like that. But they don't want to ever think that's what they're actually doing. You just said evolution and all of this stuff, Freudian psychology and all of it, communism, socialism, wow. Truth. We don't want truth. We love darkness rather than light, because we're going to call darkness light and light darkness. We're going to change it all around. So now, overview of chapter 2 of Romans. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. So when I look at me, I have to understand, when I see me in the light of the cross, and I see others, I'm dead. And I can't go anywhere, no matter who, what, when, where. Nope. God, thank you for saving me. For thou that judgest, doeth the same thing. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, against them which commit such things. So now, God, here we are looking, and we're looking, and you're telling us, you're helping us understand men love darkness rather than light, that they willfully have changed, calling darkness light and light darkness. They have willfully done so, and taking you and made you something other than who you are, and they willfully done that. That's truth. You shall know the truth. Well, what is the one other place where you're here, almost? 2 Thessalonians. We went and looked at humanity in general. Look into the future, if you would, tribulation coming up, and going into it, where we are now. 1 Thessalonians, if I can, Second Thessalonians, and chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 9. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I don't want to know the truth. I want to think what I want to think. I want to feel what I want to feel. I want to believe what I want to believe. And what did he say in John 8? You that say you believe, be believing me to the end. Honor me. If you're going to be a believer, then be one. If you're going to be a son, be one. Be one. Now, Thessalonians chapter 2. Not only do they love, they have no love for the truth, that they might be saved, but verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. That's how you'd say people would never honor an Antichrist. They are going to an Antichrist. They're going to be looking for an Antichrist. Do you think he's going to get up and say, I'm the Antichrist? Do you think he's going to get up and say, hey, I'm the Antichrist? No, he isn't. He's going to say, our world is in terrible, terrible states. Who's going to argue it? What's the solution? ISIS? Where are we going to go? There is no solution. So God, here we are looking, and thus in the process, there is no solution to it apart from God. A man, I'm going to offer peace. Think of Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3. He's going to come with power, and he's going to help everybody. Say, hold it, guys. Islam, back off. You back off and move it, and that's what he's going to do. To make what? A peace. False peace. False peace. That's what he's going to do. Now, so in the light of that, verse 12, God, you're going to let all that happen. I am. That, verse 12, they all might be damned or judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They didn't believe the truth. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Now God, that's what they said. He said, I want you to know I'm the light of the world. And take my word. I just told you it. And you believe. You believe who I am. John chapter 1. Gospel of John. chapter 1. And you will note in John 1, picking up, please, in the light of the Word becoming flesh, verse 14, John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And then you want to note, full of grace and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Slide down to verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You need to know the truth. I am the truth. I am the truth. Over, if you would, while you're here, John chapter 17. In his last words before going out to the cross, ultimately, John chapter 17, picking up, please, in a definition of eternal life. Verse 17, John, verse 2. As thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life. What is that? That they may know, there you are, know thee, you shall know the truth, you shall know that thee, they might know thee, the only true, there's your word, God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you guys, if you're believing me, as he looks out in the crowd, are you going to, if you want to, where you're at, I understand what you're thinking, I know what's in your heart, in your head, you need to continue believing. Don't just take this moment, lock on to it, lock on to who I am and what I'm saying. Now, having said that little bit, one other place, and then we'll move on if we can quickly, over to John, 1 John, here's John the writer, and over to 1 John, near the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 5. How are you going to end John? Remember we told you John is going to make known that Jesus Christ is God, 21 chapters. Whoops, you can't miss it. Can't miss it. So what are we going to do with them? Well, going to have to believe. 1 John chapter 5, picking up please in verse 20. It's used three times. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, if we know the truth, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him, in Christ that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So there's no way to miss if you want it. I'm God, he said. And you're either going to know me or reject me. You're either going to come, I'm going to give you light. That's why I'm in my humanity, perfect humanity, so that you can come to perfect deity. Now, having said that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Set you free, all right? And the word freedom has to do with liberty, being free, liberty. To be set free, it has to do with that. So now, truth will set you free. How does truth set you free? Huh. Now, and we're, over if you would please, to the Ephesians in chapter 2. The truth will set you free. What does that mean to be free? Liberty. 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 Not license. License is a license to do what you want. God isn't giving anyone license. He isn't talking about a license. He's talking about liberty to do what you ought. Not license to do what you want. Now, so here's Ephesians chapter 2, just picking up. Remember, are we slaves? Are we caught up? We are. And you'll see it quickly without me taking too long, I hope. Chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 1, you hath he quickened, made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world system, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, that the spirit and the spirit that is now working right now in the children of disobedience all over the world. There's over 7 billion people, and God is busy, the God of this world, working a system. An unbelieving system, a godless system, full of religion, full of politics, full of power, but godless. He's working it now. So having said that, you'd say, well, it's set free. Truth will set me free. From what? From sin. The power of sin. The penalty of sin. The presence of sin. God has set you free. You're caught in it. I'm not caught. I'm free. Are you? Tell me, the government's going to do all kinds of things. It's doing it. Our state is doing it. All kinds of people are doing it. Tell me that you aren't caught up in that. You don't have a choice, do you? From a human standpoint, you're caught. You're caught in this world system. You're caught in having to eat the food that's at the grocery store. You're caught in the system you live in, whether you like it or not. You can call it good. I like it. That's good. I like pizza. You got it? But you aren't free. You're in bondage to this system, and you have no way to overcome it. No matter how you cut the cookie, you can think, you can be an intellect, you can try to be a politician, you can try to get into power, you can try to have some kind of something to give you, a gang or something to give you some power, some control, something that you feel you have some push, some influence, some right. You want to keep your rights. What right? God is the only right one. All our rights are filthy rags. All my rights. I'm not going to trust anything. I'm free. Truth will make you free. No question about it. Over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The truth, if you know the truth will make you free. Free. Liberty. Hang on. Liberty. Remember the next section. What are the Jews going to, Pharisees going to say? Aren't we free? And he said, you are not free. And then he goes on to explain, you're not free men at all. Aren't we Jews? Children of Abraham? Aren't we free? No. You don't know. You call jail free. I suppose if you lived in Sing Sing or Alcatraz, that's another prison that is inescapable. If you live there long enough, after a while, after the first little bit, it becomes home, doesn't it? It becomes home. You live there. I mean, you're used to the food, you're used to everything. You know how to manage and manipulate and play the game. What can I tell you? You know, it's our home. All right, now Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, sin will make you, and we're in bondage to it, but God, you have set us free by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 18. Here's our word free. Being then made free, liberty, given liberty, set free. From what? From sin. You became servants, the word servants, slaves of righteousness. You were rescued from the world's system and sin to serve the righteous, to serve God's rightness, truth, the wonderful God of truth. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants, slaves to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23, you know. For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, the truth, is going to make us free. We're slaves, Our old nature, your old nature is your old nature. How do you get away from your old nature? How do you escape the way you think, feel, and do? Is that a reasonable? How do you escape? Aren't you always? I can go right around. I could do it now. Right? One, two, one, two. I can tell you what you're like. You're what you're like and what you're like and what you're like. This is how you are. You can't get free of that because that's what you are. Now, how am I going to get free of this lousy nature that locks me in? God, truth. Know the truth, and the truth, reality, will set you free. Free. That freedom, the wonderment of that freedom. Have you ever had that? Ever had that? Have you been enjoyed being forgiven? You can't enjoy Ephesians 4:32. You can't enjoy being forgiven. Understand, there's not one word, thought, or deed in your life that God isn't cleansing right now in your heart. That's the only way you stay saved. Do you understand that? It's going on in your mind. So, if I'm going to, I understand, God, you've forgiven me, and you are forgiving me. I don't know, I've said it 1,000 times if anyone ever hears. There's nothing anyone's going to say or do against me, around me, or whatever that is worse than my own sin. And I have nothing. I'm not going to even go that way. That way. You do whatever. If you kick me in the shins going out, silly illustration, then you do it 3 times, when I see you coming, I'm going to step back. That doesn't mean I wouldn't shake your hand. I'm just going to step back so you can't get me. You understand? Now, God, the truth will set us free, set you free. Over to Romans. You're in Romans 7. You're right there. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 3. If while your husband, while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is F-R-E-E, free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. What freed her? The husband died, and the relationship ceased. God, what did you do? You went to the cross, and why did you go to the cross? To take me, to take each human being to that cross and die. So that the law that is on top of me is no more. He paid the price so that I am free. When the husband is dead, she's free from the law that demands otherwise adultery. God does that for us. Wow, free, free. It's like peace. If you went to believers across the world, peace, P-E-A-C-E, from God's standpoint, God's peace, is very rare. It isn't God gave it to every single believer, but they don't ever get it. They don't understand. They never put the pieces together. If God were to come right now, boom, everything in your heart and life would stop. And you'd be, if assuming you're saved, and you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. How changed do you think you're going to be? Is that all right? You're going to be changed 1,000%. And everything that you can ever think of, talk about, or feel is gone. God doesn't want to hear it ever again. And you will never do it ever again. Isn't that wonderful? You say, no, I love my thoughts. That's the trouble. We love darkness rather than light. I like my thoughts. No, God condemned them. Our thoughts rob us of God's. So now, God, here we are looking. And so we want to remember that license, we don't want to do. You did not give us license to do what we want. You gave us liberty to do what we ought. Do you really know in our Declaration of Independence, we did it the other day, second paragraph, I'm going to quote the beginning. We hold these, do you remember it? We hold these what? Truths? Where do you think they got that? We hold these truths to be self-evident, obvious, that all men are created, not evolved. You understand that? That's our country. So where does evolution fit in and all that? It doesn't. So that's why the Declaration has to slip aside, you see. Constitution, that's what they're doing. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable, never can be lost, never taken away, right, unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why do you think our country was founded? They had all kinds of governments. They had all kinds of power, all kinds of ways to make money and millions out there in Europe and everywhere else. You could have been the part of the political system and religious system. They wanted freedom to know the truth. That's what they wanted to do. Now, so God, here we are. Over in closing, I've got to close. Ah. How about two places? Two. Over if you would. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as you know. First Corinthians 7. And picking up, if I can, in verse 21. Art thou called being a servant, that's the word slave, care not for it, don't worry about it, I'm a slave. Remember, half the Roman Empire is slaves during this time. Half. Almost half. Roman Empire, they're slaves. I mean slave. Slaves. And we did all that stuff. Anyway. Now, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. Don't worry about it. If thou mayest be made free, have liberty, use it rather. Now, God said, let me help you both, the owner and the slave. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, a slave, is the Lord's. God, what do you call them? Free men, free to choose, think, believe. That's what it's all about. Free to function rightly. Wow, as a son, as a saved person, in the will of God to function freely, I'm freed to do it. Wow. Now, and chapter verse 22, he is the Lord's freeman. Well, what about the other guy? Likewise also, he that is called being free, he's the owner, the boss. Remember, Mr. Boss, you are Christ's slave. You are a servant. And we are gladly, Paul, a bond slave of our Lord Jesus Christ. Slave. You bet we are. We're freed slaves. Wow. We're conquered to be conquerors. Wow. Wow. I've got to quit. For James chapter 1. James chapter 1, if I may. You are familiar, James 1 and verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect, lacking nothing, complete, perfect law of liberty. There's your word. Freedom. Truth will make you free. You look into my word. I want you to continue in my word. I want you to believe in my word. Believe. Keep on believing. Don't stop. If you keep on looking into the perfect law, the complete, nothing's lacking, law of liberty, understand liberty, and continueth therein, that sounds like John 8, 31, 32, and continue therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. God, we're looking to you to enjoy the wonderful freedom. Chapter 2 and verse 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged. God, how are you going to judge us? By the perfect law of liberty. I gave you freedom to obey, to hear, to do, to believe, to choose. You had freedom to have it all. Not the law to have it all. Freedom to have it all. Did you exercise your free rights? We came to this country and we had the Declaration of Independence, and we tried to project it for what that we who are still alive on planet Earth in America would have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We had the right to do so. I'm going to judge you for that liberty that you had. It was your choice. You didn't make it. And you should have. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We want to be lovers of the truth, defenders of the truth. In a world that doesn't believe anything's true. Wow. There are wonderful absolutes. God, you're one of them. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes, our health. God, here we are. You have to help us. We fumble along here. God, we're being eaten up by the system. We're being eaten up by unbelief. We're being eaten up by indifference. God, rescue us from the termites. God, deal with our heads and our hearts. And for our world and our country, for the men and women across the world that honor you, boys and girls that know you, God, thank you for that. Here we are. It's our place. Our turn. God, enable us for all of the good, for all of the glory that belongs to you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. We may sing a stanza, please.